This is the 11th or 12th week in our Kingdom series, and it's because Pastor Bill and Ryan, they were getting together, they get together about these themes, and they felt like we really wanted a fresh look at the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is like the main backbone of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It talks about us being a kingdom of priests. The book of Daniel talks about the eternal Kingdom of God. The Psalms talk about the Kingdom of God. It's all about God's Kingdom, and of course, we all believe God's Kingdom will come in its fullness when Jesus Christ comes back again. But meanwhile, does the Kingdom of God have a present day application? I'd like to say that it does. I'd like to say that when Jesus told us to pray thy kingdom come, he didn't mean pray for his kingdom to come so you can go to heaven. Otherwise, you can say baptize people and hold them underwater for 10 minutes and then they'll go directly to heaven and then you don't have to worry about it. But there's a verse in Romans 14 that says the Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, present tense. And so it has a present day application with a view towards the future. Of course, we'll talk about the future, but not today. That's a topic for another time. But what I would like to ask you a question, you don't have to put your hands up, but just put your hand up in your heart. And that is, how many of you have ever and now are presently struggling with your prayer life? I don't know if you're anything like me, but I go through periodic struggles with it. And I've come a long way from where I was. I'm not where I want to be, but at the same time, I still struggle. And one of the things I struggle with, I have a tad bit of ADD, and so I get spaced out easy enough. Bill talked last week about being uninterruptible or be interruptible so that the Holy Spirit can interrupt what he wants you to focus on. But I've struggled in the area of prayer. I first got saved, and it was beautiful. I was out on a beach one day, and I knelt down. I was by myself, and I just lifted up my hands to the stars, and I said, I don't even remember what I prayed. Nobody led me. Pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come into. I didn't have anybody doing that. It was just from my heart. I just prayed this simple prayer. A friend of mine wrote a song a couple years afterwards in the Jesus movement. His name was Randy Stonehill. And he wrote a song called First Prayer. And it starts out and it says, Lord, I really don't know how to pray, but you know what I'm trying to say. I don't want my life to end not really knowing why it began. So if you'll trust me, I'll do my best, and I'll be trusting you for the rest. Just a simple prayer, and I think prayer in its essence is just simply talking to a God. I was thinking about it this morning. I don't know how I got into this, but I just remembered a National Geographic special that I saw a few years ago that it talked about, and it had pictures of the sun. And if you've ever seen any of those where they go 93 million miles out, and they see these explosions on the sun, and I'm going, and that's one of the smaller stars. And then you go off into the universe and say, that God is listening to me right now, praying a little prayer like, Lord, would you help me at Living Stones this morning to bless the folks there? Would you help them to be able to hear what I have to say? And may I not just give them a bunch of worthless dribble, but may I give them something that will be something they can take home and something that will help them in their prayer life. So just as I struggled through the years, I remember reading books on prayer. I read a book by a guy named Praying Hyde in India. And, you know, as the legend goes, apparently they did an autopsy on him after he died. And he was such a fervent man of prayer in India. He was praying for Hindus to come to Christ. Then when they opened him up on his autopsy, his heart had moved about 3 or 4 inches in his chest. And we don't know whether these things are true or not, but it sure makes you feel kind of bad if you don't pray like Praying Hyde prayed. And then, of course, Martin Luther has the famous quote, I've got so much work to do today, I'm going to have to pray for 3 hours in the morning rather than just two. And I go, oh man, you know, how can I keep up with these guys? Then I hang around with Koreans in YWAM and they say, well, we get up at 4 a.m. to pray for 2 hours and then we go to the prayer meeting and pray for another 2 hours. Then we march out into our day and I just go, I'm just a worthless, you know, piece of whatever on the ground. You know, what can I do? But God didn't give up on me and I tried everything. I tried prayer lists. I tried walking. Then I'd start spacing out and looking at birds and so forth. And then I tried, kneeling, but then I'd fall asleep on the bed where I'm kneeling at, and then I tried everything. I tried getting prostrate on the ground, but I'd fall asleep again, and it was a losing battle. And then one day, I had a couple of revelations, and one was this was something that Nico quoted earlier. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into His presence with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise." So if you have a hard time with the presence of God, try being thankful. I went, okay. I'll enter His presence with thanksgiving. So I will pray and I will say, thank you, Lord. And I wrote it down in this other little crutch that I got called a prayer journal, and we'll have these on sale in just a few weeks. But this is the YWAM version of a prayer journal. We've also got the Living Stones edition of the prayer journal, and I'm sure you can get really cool editions, but just something you can get a $1.99 little spiral notebook at Long's drugstore, whatever, something that will help tether you to your prayer life. Now, not to be bragging at all, but I got the revelation to have one of these in 1983, and for the last 37 years, on an average of about 4 or 5 times a week, I make an entrance in the prayer diary. And what this does is it helps me as I'm facing a mountain in the future. I go, well, look at all the times God has blessed me. I got hundreds of answers to prayer in the last 37 years. And I would encourage you, we're not talking about a monumental task, like 5 minutes a day of just saying, Lord, I got to do this today. Would you give me grace? Lord, I'm facing a mountain here. Lord, would you, Lord, I owe a bunch of money over here. Would you provide the money? Lord, I love you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Which we'll get into in just a second. And then there's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This was a scripture that really, really spoke to me. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, I did a Greek word study on the word all, and the word all means all, and that's all means. Got it? This is deep. This is getting really deep, bro, so hang in there. Right, take good notes. Okay. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So apparently, if I acknowledge him, it doesn't even say go into 16 days of prayer and fasting. It just says, just acknowledge me. Just acknowledge that I'm in your life, Danny, and invite me into what I've got you doing, and I will bless you. And so out of those three things, I began to get the victory in the area of my prayer life. But that's just a foundation for what we want to talk about, which is Luke chapter 11, as we're going one chapter a week in our series. And the main thrust of chapter 11 is prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just like John taught his disciples. Now, these were Jews. These were people who are used to praying. They got prayer meetings and they got feasts and they've got all kinds of stuff about prayer. But they saw Jesus praying and they went, maybe I should learn from him. And so Jesus said, well, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And in Matthew, it adds on, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And there's different ways you can look at that. But I read a book a few years ago by a guy named Larry Lee. And Larry Lee was a preacher, and so he used alliteration to bring up his points. And he came up with 7 P's. I affectionately call them Larry Lee's 7 P's. And you can write that down. I mean, you can take that one home. That'd go to the bank. But number one is paternal, our Father, which art in heaven. When you're praying to a Father who loves you. And then there's the presence of God. Hallowed be thy name. You're in heaven, I'm on earth, but you invite me to come into your presence, to the presence of the Father. Number three, priority. First things first, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In much the same way, in Matthew 6, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the kingdom of God is a high priority. Number four is provision. Give us this day our daily bread, to get up and just say, Lord, would you provide for me today? Not to move in presumption, not to trust in our bank account, but to trust in the daily provision of the Lord. Number five would be pardon. Forgive us this day, or forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then, of course, there's the power. The power, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's power of God can deliver us from the evil of drugs or the evil of whatever wicked thing we're involved in. Jesus, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then the last one is praise, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So what I want to do is just have you look at two different ways of looking at this today, that God loves you and wants to build up this intimate, wonderful, personal relationship with God that we love to say is what Christianity is all about. But I also want to get us thinking about the kingdom of God, the nations of the world, the Kona Coast, the Big Island, the islands of Hawaii, and the uttermost parts of the earth, that God right now has his heart in his ultimate kingdom coming when Jesus comes back. But meanwhile, we all need to give ourselves into what I would call kingdom praying. And that's what our title of our message is this morning, is kingdom prayer. But I have a book from a friend of mine over on Maui named Jim Morocco, and he wrote a book called Hawaii's Great Awakening. Just to tell you the story, about 2 miles down the road here, right at the Kona Pier, there's a rock, and they call it the Plymouth Rock of Hawaii. And that's where the brig Thaddeus first came in and brought the missionaries in 1820. Well, the missionaries got off the boat, they made friends, they started to work, they published hymnals and Bible study books and Bibles, and they started churches and started Bible studies and so forth. At the end of 16 years, they had 517 converts. They had hundreds of thousands of pages of information on God and hymns and so forth. But still, things were beginning to decline. It certainly wasn't a revival. They had 517 converts, and things were sinking. The history books tell us that the missionaries were about to give up, but then they began to have a prayer meeting, and then they sent for prayer. And I just want to read it out of the book here. The writers who recorded what happened during the awakening. Now, 1836 was when this bottomed out. In the 1837, they say, we're going to give ourselves to evangelism and prayer, and we're going to seek the Lord. The writers who recorded what happened during the awakening were struck by the tremendous emphasis of the people on prayer. In their annual meeting, the missionaries of 1836 had prayed and had sent requests to the states for prayer on behalf of the Sandwich Islands, which of course is Hawaii. The Hawaiian people themselves, it was noted, had a unique ability to give themselves wholeheartedly to prayer. Missionaries on each island reported a tremendous interest in prayer. Rufus Anderson, in his book, The History of the Sandwich Island Mission, said, missionaries declare they had never witnessed more earnest, humble, persevering wrestling in prayer than was exhibited by some of the native Christians at the time, and that they had reason to bless God for being so greatly edified, comforted, and assisted by their earnest prayer. This was not only true for the adults, but the children as well. Mr. Baldwin reported how in Lahaina, for a lengthy period of time, one could scarcely go in any direction in the sugar cane or banana groves without finding these little ones praying and weeping before God. Would we like to see it happen again? But that was as a result, according to Dr. Morocco, and according to, well, they were bottoming out in 1836. They called for worldwide prayer between 1837 and 1841, there was this much exponential increase in the people coming to Christ. 19,877 baptized members of the Protestant churches. 14,000 of those were on the Big Island. By 1853, there were 56,840 baptized converts, or 80% of the population of Hawaii. Haile Church was the largest church in the world with about 6,000 members over in Hilo. Titus Cohen has a famous baptism story where he baptized 1,700 people in one day. 2,119 non-Hawaiians were among the group, as well as 11,000 Catholics, leading up to over 90% of the Hawaiian people had come to Christ. Now, maybe it was just a coincidence, but I think it might have been because of earnest, believing kingdom prayer. And so that's what has to do with what we have to pray for. Now, in the backdrop of this, Jesus taught, and you can see this throughout the book of Luke, that there is the kingdoms of this world. The kingdom is just a political designation for a government. In the book of Revelation, it tells us about this glorious day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So it's not about us little people accepting Jesus as our personal Savior so we won't go to hell. It's us being involved with the Lord on his great, grand, what C.S. Lewis called a great invasion of the powers of darkness by the kingdom of God. So you have the kingdoms of this world, you have the kingdom of darkness, and then you have the kingdom of God. And the problem with us Christians is we live in the kingdom of God, but we live by kingdom of darkness or kingdom of the world principles. And the reason we pray and read the Bible and have fellowship and small groups and accountability is so that we can all be real kingdom people praying kingdom prayers. Let's go on to our second little text here as we move on in Luke. Then Jesus said to them, this was after he had given his teaching on prayer. Suppose, and he's illustrating it as he likes to do with the parable. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, can you lend me 3 loaves of bread? A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, other translations say your persistence, you keep on coming, he will surely give up get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek. So apparently there's levels of prayer here. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Now he's getting into this. God's not up there, if you might get down on your knees and fast and pray and grovel a little bit. No, he's saying, everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door shall be opened. Which of you fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? That's a rhetorical question. Of course not. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a serpent? Of course not. And I think that's it. But there's contrast that he's making here. You're not perfect, but how many of you would give a stone to your son? Go out and get a Big Mac and pull out the burger and put in a stone and watch him as he writhes in pain when he cracks his teeth. Of course you wouldn't do that, and you're not even God. But contrasted with us humans, what about God's generosity? Later on in the book of Luke, in chapter 18, there's a similar story of what's called an unjust judge. A woman comes to the judge and she says, I have been dealt an injustice, would you help me? And the judge says, I don't want to help you. I don't fear God, I don't care about any of that Christian stuff, forget it. And then she goes and she keeps on coming to the judge, and basically the same thing. I'm not going to give it to you because I'm a judge or because I'm a God-fearing man, but because of your persistence, I will give you what you need. So in all of these prayers and contrasts and so forth, it's God wants us to ask, sometimes asking, sometimes seeking, sometimes we got to knock, but there's an invitation, a glorious invitation from our Father who art in heaven and the King of the kingdom. And so we need to be able to pray Father prayers for our needs, like forgive us for our debts and so forth and so on, but also to be involved with God's great kingdom of sabotage, as C.S. Lewis called it. I'm going to jump up to the book of Daniel, and this is a real quick synopsis of this little chapters 9 and 10 of Daniel, if we could have that come up here. And this has to do with Daniel's praying and fasting for 21 days. And he's seeking the Lord. And when you read the text, you got to say, wonder why he fasted 21 days. What if he would have quit after 16, 17? Apparently, there was something in the dynamic of this particular prayer. Now, Daniel, if you read the book of Daniel, he's praying some macro stuff that has to do with the children of Israel in bondage to Babylon and so forth. So he describes praying to God and then some kind of a conflict in the spiritual realm when the answer of his prayer has not yet gone to earth. Okay. He continued. Now, this is the angel talking to Daniel. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. In other words, when you pray, bang, God hears you right away. But apparently there's some other dynamic here. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom, whoever that is, probably some dark angelic power, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns the time yet to come. And there's a lot of context here I couldn't get into. But the point is there are sometimes obstacles to the answer to your prayers. Now, this is something that 21st century Christians or non-Christians have a really hard time with. Okay, Danny, do you think I'm some kind of hick from the sticks that's going to believe there's a devil out there and there's dark angels that are trying to stop our prayers? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's why Jesus said, you got to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How many of you believe the kingdom of God and the will being done is always happening? No. There are apparently a lot of beings out there as well as people out there that don't want God's kingdom to come. So that's why we have to pray effectively. I read a book a few years ago, excellent book I'd recommend, by Richard Foster. I've read probably 50 books on prayer. It's one of the best. And Richard Foster's book is simply called Prayer. And he gets into 21 different kinds of prayer, which I won't bore you with now, but I'll go into a couple of them. But one of them is what he calls the simple prayer. I really don't know how to pray, but you know what I'm trying to say. I don't want my life to end, not really knowing why it began. But and there's this simple childlike prayer. Sometimes when I lead people to Christ, I give altar calls everywhere I go, and I have people, and I say to them, would you like to pray your own prayer, or would you like to have me lead you in a prayer? How would you like to do it? And a lot of times they say, I don't know how to pray. Why don't you lead me? Okay, dear Jesus, and then I'll lead them in a prayer. But there's something very refreshing when they just dump out all their sins to God. And just I led a guy to the Lord in Maui a couple months ago, and he was a hardcore dude. He just got out of prison, but he just cried and wept, and it was just such a beautiful thing to see this guy giving his life to the Lord in his own words, which could probably not be repeated in a sanctified atmosphere that we're in right now. But I believe God honored that prayer because the guy really meant it from his heart. So a simple prayer. My son Daniel's not here today, so I can talk stink about him. And he's a worship leader here at the church, if you've ever seen Daniel. Best worship leader since King David, as far as I'm concerned. But that's just me. But love Daniel. But I had a kind of a conflict with Daniel a few years ago, a very number of years ago. And he was about 3 or 4 years old. And part of the problem was that I was a tad bit legalistic in those days. I still struggle with legalism, but I was really bad back in those days. And I remember I put a law down in the house. We shall not, thou shalt not have a television. Television is a pipeline from hell, and I don't want any of that garbage coming in. I'm going to sanctify the rooms of the house, and we'll just read the Bible and pray and look into Bible cartoons and so forth. And Daniel, that's going to be your fun. And he goes, but I go to Grandma's house at Christmas time, and she lets me watch lets me watch Bugs Bunny and Teenage Turtles or whatever it was back in those days, and he saw it as very innocent. Now my wife, being a grace-filled believer, said, "Danny, why don't you give the guy? No, I'm not going to take any of our support money and give it into that and it was this battle we had in the house. So Daniel came to Mom, and he said, "Mommy, could I pray and ask Jesus to give me a TV so I could watch Donald Duck and Daffy Duck and all that?" And she said, "Okay, you can pray that. Let's go tell your daddy." So they came up to me and they said, "Daddy, can I pray that Jesus would give me a TV?" I said, "You can pray, but I'm not taking any of our support money and giving it to television. Somebody will have to walk up those steps and give us a television." He says, "Okay, Daddy." So he goes back and he prays, and Mom's praying along with him. She stuck her faith in there too. And so they prayed that God would give us a television. Now, we have a guy who's down at the campus at YWAM. His name's Donald Treadway, and he's a real word of knowledge, prophetic type of dude, you know, the kind of guy that hears from God. And this is when I was in Honolulu a long time ago, and I'm washing dishes and looking out the window, and I see a fancy car pull up, like a rental car. And I look, and it's Dr. Treadway. I wonder what he's doing here. He goes to the back of his car, opens up the trunk, and brings out this television. And I turned 15 shades of white. And he walks up and walks up the stairs and says, "Danny, I was driving down H1, and I felt like I was going to go, you know, give this away to somebody else, but I felt like God said the laymans need a television." I said, "The laymans don't need any television." And Daniel in the back is saying, "Thank you, Jesus." He is just so excited about God. And the mom, of course, is saying, "Yes, we got one, you know, get the old guy out of his legalism." But simple prayer gets answers. Then there's the area of petition. That's just when you ask God for things. There's a grace prayer where I prayed for you folks this morning. I prayed for me that God's grace would be on our meeting today. There's authoritative prayer where we cast out demons, when we heal the sick, when we speak in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you." And so what does it mean in his name? It doesn't just mean like a rabbit's foot where you say the phonetic Jesus or Jesus. It's the authority, the name of Jesus Christ. He gives us the authority to see things change as a result of our prayers. There's what we call desperate prayer. Anybody here ever have a desperate prayer where you just pray, "Oh God"? You don't know what else to pray, and just go, "Oh God." I had two of those in the last couple of months. I didn't plan this, but in preparation for this message, I was in Phoenix about 2 months ago, preaching at a church, staying at a pastor's house. The pastor had to go somewhere, and somebody else was coming to take me to the airport at 11. It's about 7 in the morning, and it's already 90 degrees outside in Phoenix. I decided to go take a prayer walk into the desert, which his house was right on the edge of the desert. So I was out just walking. Now, I did not take a cell phone. I did not take any water. And it was a dumb thing to do. But I was only going to go out for 15 minutes and come back. And I don't want to blame it on God or on my own stupidity, but I got out there and I walked for about 45 minutes and I got lost in the wilderness. And I've got no water. I've got no cell phone. I don't know which way to go. I could go this way and walk all the way to New Mexico, or I didn't know where I was going. And then I started getting really woozy and I started getting like dehydrated. And I've been dehydrated before, but this was getting nasty. I was going, I might just want to crawl under that bush over there. Hopefully somebody will find me before the vultures get to me. But lo and behold, a dirt bike guy comes by. I said, "Bro, you got any water?" He goes, "I don't have any water." And I said, "Where's the closest house?" He goes, "Well, down to that little mountain there and make a left." And so by the time I get to this house, I walk up the driveway. I'm about to knock on the door. How many of you know when you're desperate, you don't care if you look like an idiot or not? And I knocked on the door, nobody home. And I saw all these newspapers laying in the driveway. I go, "Oh my gosh, they're gone." And I can't see any other houses. And I went, "Lord." And I went over to the outdoor faucet and turned it on, and it was on. I went, "Bruh." So I drank the water, and then I walked down, hitchhiked home, and I got back. But I was desperate. I didn't care what I looked like. I didn't care who I need to humble myself in front of. I know the guy that picked me up hitchhiking said, "Well, why'd you come out here without any water anyway?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just glad you showed up, bro. You saved my life." Then a couple of weeks later, I was in Thailand, and I'm going to a missionary conference out there. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but you're jet lagged when you first get to the other country, and then you don't recognize that some countries drive on the other side of the road. And so on automatic pilot, jet lagged, tired, hungry, I'm with this young guy named Michael, and my wife likes young guys to go along with me just to keep me from situations like this, because I don't always watch where I'm going, and sometimes get on the wrong plane in the wrong country and all that. But so I'm... just about, I'm trying to cross this road, and the traffic is like this, and I'm looking out and so forth, and we're both getting impatient because we're looking for a break in the traffic, but there's no break, and I see a break in the traffic, and I walk right out in the middle of oncoming traffic, and Michael says, "Danny," and for some reason, I just hopped up off the ground. I don't know why I did it. I hopped up, and I said, "Jesus." And the car swerved and skidded to the side and hit me while I was in the air, spun me around 360 degrees. I landed on my rear end, bounced back up, and went to the other side of the road. And that was, and I looked back to my son, my friend Michael, and he's totally traumatized. I said, "I'm the one that almost got killed. Why are you traumatized?" And he said, "Danny, you would have been dead. If you would have been on the ground, you would have at least broken both of your legs." And I got up and I said thank you to the lady in my Thai posture. But a couple of things happened there. One was I was warned by a friend. Number two, the lady tried to avert hitting me. And number three, I think an angel of the Lord was able to answer that one little prayer, "Jesus," and be able to help me. So desperate prayers, it doesn't have to be. The Bible talks about, Paul said, talked about making mention of you in my prayers. Sometimes you can just say, "Danny, Joe, Vernon, Andy, Jim." Just make mention of people in your prayers that God might be able to help you to communicate with them. Number three, we want to talk about kingdom power. So it's not only that we have kingdom prayer in general, both individually for his kingdom and corporately for his macro kingdom, as was illustrated by the Hawaii's Great Awakening. Number two, there's kingdom persistence. Sometimes you ask, sometimes you seek, sometimes you knock, sometimes 21 days, sometimes bless his food in Jesus' name, amen. Interesting, I did a little word study on the word howly. We've got a bunch of howlies here, so let me give you a little instruction on how howly came about. Now, obviously, howly means without breath. It means foreigner. It means people that are lighter skinned. And there's several different angles on which that is given. But I read a Hawaiian historian once who brought up this angle. He said sometimes when the Hawaiian Christians got saved, they would pray with the missionaries, and the missionaries would pray these tart little, you know, quick little fire prayers like, "Dear Jesus, bless this food in Jesus' name, amen, pass the mashed potatoes." And the Hawaiians would go, "But aren't you going to breathe life into your prayers?" Because spirit is the same word for breath. And they felt like you need to slow down in your prayers and just breathe life. And that's why Dr. Morocco says the Hawaiian Christians were praying with fervency for revival to come and revival hit. But now getting down to the kingdom power thing, we want to read a lengthy text of scripture here, and then we'll begin to close. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, now this is I took a break here from the text. He had just cast a demon out of somebody and thereby exercising his authority over the powers of darkness. So Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, after they accused him of casting out devils by the devil, by the prince of devils. Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fail. Common sense, you can't have one side of an army shooting each other. You have to have them all unified, whether that's basketball or football or whether you're talking about a war. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then, let them be your judges. So he's using basic logic on them. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, if you go to Matthew's gospel, he says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. So you got the Father, you got the Son, now you got the Holy Spirit. But look at this. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Now, application, whenever you lead somebody to Christ out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, whenever you see somebody healed of a sickness or healed of a disease, you've brought the kingdom of God into that situation. Whenever you are involved in any type of kingdom enterprise in which you're pushing the powers of darkness back, we got a bunch of people here in Kona and around the world that are fighting human trafficking. And that's a principality. That's, we're talking about 27 million slaves. We're talking about incredible amount of organized crime and so forth. We have massive systems of sin like fascism and communism and so forth and so on. And so in the macro area, we need to recognize we've got kingdom power because we're praying in the name of King Jesus, and we're motivated to do that because of our Father, which art in heaven. When a strong man, now Jesus goes on to say, when a strong man, another parable, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. I'm the big guy, I'm strong. And in other texts, he talks about his weapons. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. So simple. Jesus is the stronger man. The enemy is the strong man. Somebody's got demon possessed, and a stronger comes up and says, you got him, devil, but I have got authority over you. You're strong, but I'm stronger. And he breaks the power that that has. And that has something to do with our power over the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, personally in your life, corporately in Hawaii, macro around the world. And this is why we need to pray, have missionary prayer meetings and so forth. You probably heard just last week, a young 26-year-old missionary went to the Andaman Islands outside of India, got off the boat, went out there, instantly killed. And it's hitting the news and everything right now, but he's a casualty of the war. Well, he shouldn't have done that. Well, we don't know whether he should have done it or not. We don't know what's going to come out of that. Maybe that whole tribe will get saved as a result of this guy laying his life down. We don't know. It just happened right now. We're very grieving over it. We're going, oh my gosh. It's a cost to serving the Lord. But at that cost, Jesus experienced the most violent act against him. Nobody was less deserving than Jesus of death. But he tasted death for every man, it says, and thereby conquered the kingdom of darkness. Interesting verse in Galatians 1:13. It says, God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his own dear Son. So if anything gives you a self-image, it's not just, oh, the Father, he loves me and he holds me in his lap and I just rustle against his beard and he's the one. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. But there's also the fact that I've been chosen to be a part of his kingdom. I'm not just a son or a daughter in his family. I'm a soldier in his army. And we got battles to win and wars to fight. And the stakes that are involved in these wars are the souls of men and the nations of the world. And thereby, we can give ourselves to prayer. So I want to take about 5 minutes here and give you some practical helps. If you're like me, you might have tried a lot of different ways. You fall asleep, you space out, you forget. Practical stuff. Number one, just give thanks. Test me this, take it to the bank, money back guarantee. If you go before the Lord and you're thinking, what am I going to do today? What is the time on the East Coast? I got to do something. I got to make money. Oh, pay. Just say thanks. Lord, thank you. And if you can't think of anything, Lord, thank you that I still got my hair on the top of my head. Thank you for my face. It ain't the prettiest face in the world, but it ain't the ugliest either. Thank you, Lord, for my mind that you healed. Thank you, Lord, for my cerebrum and my cerebellum and my brainstem and for my ears and my eyes and nose and throat, my bone structure, my reproductive structure, my reproductive system that brought two boys into the world. Thank you for my boys. Thank you for my grandsons. Thank you for my pastor. Thank you for my church. Thank you for the Big Island. Thank you that it's freezing on the mainland right now and it's beautiful here. Thank you for the waves. Thank you for, and you can just go into a just spontaneous for about 3 or 4 minutes. And the thanksgiving begins to lift you up and say, God has done so much for me in the past by his grace. Now I can have faith for the future. So just say thanks. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Number two, get physical. We can kneel. Daniel taught me this once, actually. He said, Dad, if you trace in the Bible where we use our bodies in worship and prayer, I will lift up my hands in your name. I will fall down before the Lord. In a couple of weeks, we'll be singing that hymn, fall on your knees and hear the angel voices. A night divine. It's going to be wonderful, but it all has to do with falling on your knees, falling prostrate on the ground, walking, taking a prayer walk. Sometimes I just take a walk and I'll go, okay, when I get to this street, I'll pray for the nations. When I get to this street, I'll pray for my family's needs. When I see that telephone pole, I'll pray for my buddy who's got cancer on the mainland. Whatever works, whatever helps bring your spirit into line with the needs that God has given you stewardship over for you to pray. We have a stewardship to pray. Whatever you feel about President Trump, the Bible challenges you to pray for him every day and the members of his cabinet and so forth. Doesn't matter what, you should have prayed for President Obama every day when he was in, because that's who the Lord has allowed to be in authority. Number three, I would strongly suggest you get yourself a journal. It can be YWAMS, it can be Living Stones, it can be Long's Drugstore, whatever works for you with regards to learning how to write down your prayers so that you can remember them. Number four, pray, read the scripture. A couple years ago, Bruce Wilkinson sold a lot of books on the prayer of Jabez. A little prayer hidden in the book of 1 Chronicles there, but millions of people got blessed by that book. You can pray the prayers that Jesus prayed. You can pray the prayers that Paul prayed. You can pray the prayers that Daniel or Moses or King David prayed. You can go through the Psalms and pray through 150 Psalms, most of which are worship to God and asking God for petitions that you can desire from him. And then a couple little suggested paradigms. My friend Wayne Cordero from over on Oahu has come up with something called soap. You know, you get a bar of soap and soap. Okay, scripture. Observation, application, and promise. Another guy came up with a little thing called ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adoration, communion, thanksgiving, and supplication. Another guy came up with a praise, repent, ask, and yield. That's praise. So whatever works, just anything. What helped me was Larry Lee's 7 P's. What helped me was a prayer diary, a scripture in Psalms, and a scripture in the Proverbs. Take this and apply it to your own life, but don't surrender to a funky or non-existent prayer life. Don't only pray when you got the, oh, gods, I know I haven't prayed in 2 months, but I need the rent paid or I'm getting... You should have prayed about it a long time ago. We need to pray proactively, not just reactively. Because how many of you know we're on the offense? Jesus said to Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many of you ever seen a bunch of people running down the street and a bunch of gates chasing them? No, we're supposed to be on the offensive. We're supposed to be shaking the gates in the Muslim world, in the Hindu world, in the Buddhist world, in the Kona world, to say, set those captives free and see people come to know Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the invitation, a commandment from Jesus that said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power, and deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, help us to be people who pray kingdom prayers, live kingdom lives, and spread the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom to every person that you lead us into talking to. In Jesus' name, amen.